It's time for Kearney Live. Today on Kearney Live, Zach Atwell is here. Chris Johnson from the Clay County Sheriff's Office. And we'll meet Joel Lucan, the new Kearney School District Athletic Director. And now, here's Jim Dickerson, Stacey Bratcher, and Nick Vasquez.
And hello, and thank you very much. Thank you. And welcome to Kearney Live. I'm Jim Dickerson, along with Nick Vasquez and Stacey Bratcher. And we've got a good show lined up for you today. Good to see you both here today.
Jim. Likewise.
So I don't have any really topical news stories, but I had something that I want to ask you guys about because it's been driving me crazy.
Oh, boy.
So there is a new term, and I forgot what it was the minute I walked out here. But there's a term for people who get on their phone and do FaceTime while they're walking around in public.
Oh.
Because it's become so popular. And so I wondered if, because this bugs me so much, and I bring this up because, as you may or may not know, I've been traveling a little internationally lately, and what I've learned, it's not fun. Well, but what I've learned is this is not a United States problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody does it, and it's annoying.
Yes.
How did we get here, and how do we make it stop? I'll go to you, Stacey.
Oh, as Zach shared with us on Wednesday at the Chamber Luncheon, it's actually an addiction. He has been speaking to student Zach Atwell, who's going to be one of our guests today. He's done some speaking to students, and he tells them they have to put their phones away. And he said after about 5 minutes, he can tell which ones are addicted because they're physically jittering and can't.
Because they think they're going to miss something.
FOMO.
Well, the caught me on that one. The funny thing is the thing with talking on speakerphone or FaceTime, so the whole world can hear your conversation, started on the reality TV shows. But they have to do that for the show, otherwise you couldn't hear the other side of the conversation.
Right.
Are people do they not get that? That was for TV?
I have to admit, in my office, if it's just me, I'm on speakerphone.
That's different. But you don't go sit out in a restaurant.
Oh, that drives me nuts when people in public are on speakerphone.
I mean, you got people in a restaurant or an airport.
I kind of want to tell them respectfully, not everything's worth recording.
I actually want to respectfully take their phone and heave it into the next county.
Like no one...
And to take it another path, I dislike seeing people texting in movies, and then they show you their screen, and you're supposed to be able to read it in that blip to know what's going on in the storyline. That drives me crazy. I don't want to see the technology in my movies. Sorry.
Oh, you're not talking about the people in the theater texting.
No, the characters in the movie or on the in the television show. They're on their phone using it because it's supposed to be like real world. And
now, your favorite actor did that in a movie recently. Do you know which one it was?
We are not going to say his name because I don't like him.
It was Tom Cruise.
You said it.
And it was in Top Gun Maverick. He's texting Ice, which
drives me crazy.
Who, by the way, died the other day.
That's so sad.
That was the other.
Have you seen his documentary on Netflix? It's really
good. No, I have not.
It's very good. At a very young age, he was kind of forward thinking, and his parents, kind of what we're talking about, bought him one of the vintage camcorders, and he filmed everything, recorded everything for years.
He recorded most of his own documentary, too.
Yeah, I mean, so most of it comes from the stuff he recorded. So
maybe
he would have had his phone out all the time, too.
Maybe. I doubt it. But anyway, that was not good. All of our childhood heroes are going away. It makes me feel older than I already am.
Yes.
Anyway, we have a good show for you coming up today. We've got Chris Johnson with the Clay County Sheriff's Office is here. Zach Atwell is here. He's going to tell us a little story about the Midwest Transplant Network and his personal journey. And last but not least, Joel Lucan is going to join us. He's the new AD, or will be the new AD, over at the Kearney School District. So stay with us. We've got more Kearney Live coming up next.
Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
Welcome back to Kearney Live. We are going to be speaking next with Zach Atwell to find out about his journey with organ donation. April is Donate Life Month, and at the Chamber Luncheon on Wednesday, we had Midwest Transplant Network join us to tell us more about how residents of Kearney and Clay County can donate life through their license or by signing up online. And then Zach followed up with his life story, or his journey, through organ donation, or recipient of, I should say. So I am so thrilled to have Zach here with us today. Will you give us just a snippet as before we get into things and start asking you questions? Just give us like the abridged version of what happened to Zach a year ago.
Absolutely. So voluntarily went into the hospital on the 20th of February. On the 22nd of February, I was given 2 days to live. As you would imagine, pretty emotionally tense moment.
Yes.
Right, for everybody involved. So wife and I went into hustle mode to get everything organized that we already didn't have organized, try to process, and then decide truly not to give up. After the hospital here rejected us, we did quite a bit of searching, if you will, through the University of Wisconsin. They could not accept us, but they referred us ultimately to the University of Chicago. At the University of Chicago, after some psychological testing and then going over my medical records, said, hey, you're a great candidate. You have the profile that we need of someone that we could help. And then within about a 5-day period, drove up to Chicago, was fully admitted, put on not a waiting list, but put on basically a life support list, for my kidneys had failed at that point.
Wow.
Yeah. And then by the grace of God and the, I would say, the program itself at Chicago being so organized and put together, I gained a new, very healthy creme de la creme liver by the 9th of March. Which is unheard of time frame.
So that was like a total of, from the first moment you went into the hospital till you got the new, would we say, liver?
Correct.
About 15 days?
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
That is amazing.
It's unheard of.
Usually people are
on
the waiting list for months to years.
Yeah, it was such a blessing.
Wow.
Yeah. And for it to be a blood and DNA compatible match,
right,
is number one rare. And then the speed at to which it happened, and then inside my body, everything removed, and then my kidneys kicked on 4 days after the transplant. So it was like everything truly just fell into place.
Wow.
So where did they get the liver from? Did they tell you that?
So you don't get to know exactly right from the start. That is up to, so 6 months after a transplant, your letter, if you wish to write one, and I did, to your donor gets provided. And if they want to correspond back, they can.
To the donor's family.
Exactly. So what I know currently is that it came from someone that had an unfortunate accident and that was a certified donor, right? So they donated more than just a liver at the time. But when it came in, I was told, Zach, this liver is creme de la creme. And it's younger, I know that much. Whether it came from a man or a woman or details beyond that, are not disclosed.
Yeah, I do know that a lot of the on donations like that, a lot of them come as a result of an accident somewhere along the line. Because obviously if someone has a terminal illness or something like that, you're going to be a little hesitant to start
giving out. They can use tissue for things
correct.
Like that, but not necessarily
yeah,
organs.
Yeah, but organs might already have some failure to them. So
right.
Will they ever, do you think you'll ever find out any more detail as to what happened or where the liver came from, or is that conversation pretty much over?
I hope so. I hope that that conversation's not over. Maybe the donor and their family, whatnot, maybe they need more time to process,
right.
Because there obviously was a loss involved. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they don't want any connection. They feel like they've already moved past it, and it's kind of a check mark off their list. Somebody grateful got it. Someone's doing something good with that huge gift, mm-hmm. right? But I'm hoping that I hear back at some point, either to the extent of possibly meeting them and thanking them in person, but we'll see.
So when you say you were rejected by the hospital here,
yes,
and I don't understand exactly how the system works, but I would assume that a lot of the transplant organizations, the ones that make all this happen, are somewhat interconnected because the number of organs that are available at any given time is minimal, and then the number of organs of any kind that would match a certain recipient is even less than that. So the bigger your network, the bigger your chances. What do you know about the network and how it works, and do you have any idea why you were rejected in the first place?
Everything that you just said is exactly correct, and that's about the extent of my knowledge. They have a working communication, but it's not like a centralized system. A lot of calls, a lot of reach out, a lot of connectivity through their own network has to happen to be able to fit all the criteria of donor matching with donation in person, right? Specifically answering your question, I was told in no short of words that I was too far gone to save. So that is why I was rejected locally.
Did you call them back and go, huh?
Did you have a pretty woman they moment were, go in? Big mistake. Huge.
I did think about having my pretty woman moment walking in my suit and being like, I'm alive.
There I am. But,
none of that actually transferred. My gratitude, though, my gratitude goes to the University of Chicago because they were terrific to work with. My staff up there is essentially family. They're in great humor. I feel very blessed to have had them in my life. And then subsequently, locally, I work with KU, and my staff there is just terrific. They're absolutely fabulous. They're very supportive, very caring people as well.
I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind sharing, my mother worked for Midwest Transplant Network for many, many years, and she was the first point of contact with the families when a loved one passed away. Mm-hmm. And I know that those conversations took their toll on her. I believe she has some PTSD from all of that. She's since retired and is fine now. At the same time, it was also extremely rewarding. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, when you learned that you were going to be given this gift, how did you process that? What was your thought process?
Those who know me well, and you are one of those people, know that I usually start with gratitude. That was definitely unexpected, way quicker. Through a lot of prayers and a lot of belief, I was prepared for it, but you know, you have to be gratefully surprised at the same time. So I was excited, to be quite honest.
Nice.
It was a tearful moment, tears of, wow, did that just happen?
Yeah.
All right, so I get another 40 years-ish, right?
Yeah.
That's terrific. I mean, that feeling of someone thinking ahead of time and planning out that when it's their time, somebody else can live further. I mean, that's that in itself, what a gift, what a blessing, right? And since I was already a donor, that's nice to know that hopefully I'll help someone in the same way. And I do encourage people to be donors, of course, because it saves lives. What a legacy in helping somebody else live a longer life because yours is expired in that sense.
Absolutely.
So you talked about grateful surprises.
Absolutely.
And some big milestones along the way.
Yeah.
Physically, how did you manage the psychology, the emotion? Because you know, you have these wonderful surprises at the same time. There's got to be the side, is this going to work? Is this going to take? Right? Almost kind of, how do you keep yourself from waiting for the other shoe to drop, as they say? And then as a husband and dad with your wife and your kids, like, how did you manage all that?
I love that you asked me that. So this is one of my favorite things to add to my testimony and to share. We're a very faith-filled family. And being faith-filled, there was not a hesitation with how we handled that. We went straight to prayer, right from the jump. The other thing is, I'm a huge believer in positive affirmation, and that was encompassed in everything. I tell people this exact truth. We did not allow, and I did not allow, any wiggle room with the devil or negativity to be present in my self-talk or with the people around me. We kept it all positive. All forward motion counted. And what it was I'm going to live, I'm going to be healthy, I'm also going to change who I was and how I acted in certain circumstances. It's not that my belief system changed, it was that we were implementing everything that we had learned through our faith life.
You really honed in.
Absolutely.
You start well to said. Take out the chaff and where we're really focused.
Here. Absolutely.
Right, well but said. Even just being able to sustain that is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Most days were very positive. And my staff at Chicago would say the same thing. They were shocked about how joyful and upbeat I was every day. I was. I had great people around me. Other than the food, it was a very favorable experience. No hospital food is good.
Difference between being joyfully naive and joyfully intentional.
Right.
I think that's, you know, we're not just going to be joyful to make everybody feel better. There's a difference probably when you really truly believe that.
Yeah. And the other thing is this. I had plenty of time to research. You guys probably already know I was certified while I was in the hospital in being a certified neurolinguistic practitioner, where I help people on how they perceive their environment and how it helps them, right, and how they take all that in. And then I became a certified addiction and loss coach at the same time. So I was constantly filled with how can I make myself better through what I was learning to help with other people with, right? One of the biggest things with that is we bring up joy. I say joy and not happiness because being happy is situational. I'm happy that I get to go to Worlds of Fun. I'm happy that I'm driving a nice car today, right? Joyful is I'm joyful and content with where I'm at and the journey I'm on. Does that make sense?
It's a choice.
So it's absolutely a choice. Yeah. It's a choice to be joyful doing mundane tasks, as an example. And part of mine was recovery, which I was very joyful that even right before the liver transplant, the failure in a transplant room with qualified surgeons is minimal that something will go wrong, to be quite honest. So I felt like I was in competent hands. I felt like I was loved and secure. And they give you more than enough information to make logical decisions as well. So the confidence.
Because the mundane tasks mean I'm here another day to do it.
That's correct.
Right, and training your mind to see that.
Absolutely. And be grateful for that, because ultimately you have to do certain things in life that aren't the most enjoyable things to do, but they lead you to the greater reward, either in helping someone else, getting where you want to be, goal attainment.
And again, to your point, regardless of the circumstance.
Absolutely.
So how has all this helped you going forward? And I mean, there's got to be, you've got to have a different approach to everything, I would assume. To a degree, and how has that changed what you do day to day, and then how you talk to others about it to try and help out?
Yeah, I'm going to be fully transparent. So one thing that's highly obvious at this point is that I've cut all substance of alcohol out of my life entirely. So that was a change. I was a day drinker before, and then I walked myself into sobriety. I was sober completely for about 2 or 3 weeks, not even a drip of anything, before I went into the hospital. But at that point, my liver had kind of already had it, right? So one thing that I'm doing now is I'm a big promoter of sobriety, living a healthy lifestyle in abundance like that, right? So I formed my company, Redemption Recovery Coaching. And I'm leading others through their value systems, setting appropriate boundaries, who they are, self-actualization exercises that I also maintain myself. So I'm speaking from experience about and giving my testimony to help other people with their testimonies.
All right. And so to finish up on that,
yeah.
If someone wants to get a hold of you because they want to follow your path or your leadership or however you want to look at it,
sure.
How would they get a hold of you?
The best way is use my website, because if I gave out my phone number, that it would just be way too many phone calls.
But the website is?
RedemptionRecoveryCoaching.com.
Okay. Excellent. All thank one
you.
Word.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story. Yes. That's a great story.
I appreciate it.
Coming up next, the Flock license plate reader system has been back in local news. You've probably heard a lot about it. What is Flock? What does it do or what does it not do? We're going to discuss that with the Clay County Sheriff's Office coming up next on the next segment of Kearney Live. Stay with us.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with two locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative, empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
And welcome back to Kearney Live. A couple of weeks ago, you may have heard the Clay County Sheriff's Office used their Flock license plate reader to nab a homicide suspect that escaped from Ray County. Here to tell us a little bit more about that event and the Flock system, if you've not heard about it, is Deputy Chris Johnson from the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Welcome to the show, Chris. Good to have you
here. Thanks for having me.
So there has been a lot of discussion about this Flock system. So let's start off first, talk a little bit about what the system is, and then we'll talk about how it's benefited now that you guys have it.
So essentially what it is a traffic camera system based on license plates. Let's say for a stolen vehicle, for example, it can be entered into that, and if it hits on one of the cameras throughout various areas of the county, deputies are notified either through our dispatchers or they can have the system brought up in their own patrol vehicles as well, and they're alerted to the camera that it hit off of, then go to that area and attempt to locate the vehicle that they're looking for.
So the camera automatically reads the license plate and then deciphers what the license plate is, and then checks it through. It does all that all on its own.
That's correct, yeah. If deputies know a certain vehicle that they're looking for, they can, maybe they don't have a full plate, maybe they just have a partial plate, or maybe they just have a type of vehicle they're looking for, they can enter that information into the system, and they can even search window stickers, if you will, and all aspects or any type of the characteristics of the vehicle they can think of. If that search parameter is in the system, it can search for it.
So let's talk a little bit about what started this as far as what we're talking about today. You guys, tell us what happened, how the system worked, and then we'll get into the intricacies of it after that?
So, basically, there was a homicide that occurred out in Ray County, and the suspect fled from the scene. And in doing so, they knew what type of vehicle they were looking for. They knew the plate of the vehicle. That vehicle was captured on a camera, actually, in Excelsior Springs that belonged to them. So just a little side note of that, if other agencies have the Flock system, they can basically put in a parameter that share those cameras with other agencies. And most agencies around here all have good working relationships where they share their Flock camera systems with each other. So, and that's what happened in that case. It hit off a camera in Excelsior Springs. They were able to track it, and then basically the direction that it was going, Liberty Police Department then got behind it, requested the assistance of the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Our deputies assisted. There ended up being a vehicle pursuit, and ultimately the vehicle was stopped in Kansas City, Missouri. Our deputies took him into custody.
So how would you, not in a statistical exact number, but how would you rate the success of the camera system, and has it lived up to your expectations, or has it actually gone past what you thought it might be able to do?
It's very high. I'm very happy with what it can do for us. Not only just for stolen vehicles, but this isn't the only homicide suspect that we've used it for. We had a homicide investigation that led us to a suspect at the, right before Christmas in 2023, where there was a decedent that was dropped out in Rocky Hollow Park, and we were able to pick up the suspect vehicle in the early morning hours here in Kearney, and led us to who the suspect was, to a place out in Kansas. So it's very highly successful, not only just, like I said, for homicides, stolen vehicles, but we can use it for Amber Alerts, Silver Alerts, other kidnapping-type suspects. So what it can be used for, there's no end to it.
So let's talk about pushback, because I got to be honest, this is a part that I don't understand. This is a tool that helps us apprehend and get people off the street that shouldn't be there. It can help if you were to have, let's say, an abduction. Mm-hmm. It could help you with that.
Yeah.
I don't see a downside, although there's some people that do. Have you guys had any people contact you, "We don't like this, this is horrible"?
Yeah, there's been multiple phone calls that we received that people think they're being tracked. They're a big brother watching, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. You know, I mean, we are doing it for a public safety aspect here. We're not trying to, you know, we have so many things that we're doing. We're not watching any certain, you know, person, you know, all the good law-abiding citizens. That's not who we're after with that. We're looking for the stolen vehicles. We're looking for the dangerous violent felons who has warrants, sex offender violations, and things like that. Any of those things, that's what we're using it for. So, you know, it's on a public license plate that anybody can see. So that's what the cameras are picking up. They're not inside their homes. They're not, you know, faced at any one house or apartment building or anything like that. It is public license plates, and that's what we're going after.
Yeah, that's where I get a little confuzzled, because this is one of those things that I've seen where I don't like it until it happens to me. And what I mean by that is my car got stolen. For 6 months, I complained about the Flock system because it's Big Brother. But now I want you to find my car.
Yeah.
I've actually seen some of that going on. I've seen, I'm not going to talk about any specific platform, but on Facebook, I saw there was a person who was just ranting about this system. And it costs too much money and blah, blah, blah. It's Big Brother. And then if I recall, their car got stolen. And they're like, "Why didn't anybody do anything? Why haven't they found my car?" And I'm thinking, you're the same person who was just railing on this system. I personally don't get it. I'm also probably a little different. If you're not doing anything wrong,
then why are you worried about it?
Yeah,
exactly. And we agree. You know, it's a tool for us. You know, it's not the only tool that we have. You know, but it's a powerful tool. Technology is the leading way in law enforcement now. You know, back day when I first started, it was just getting out there pounding the pavement looking for people. Now, if we have the technology at our fingertips, you know, the deputies have that quick access in their cars, you know, why not utilize it?
Go ahead.
Well, back to that Big Brother question. Mm-hmm. Where is the stuff stored? Like, how long is it kept? Like, if my car was stolen 6 months ago, is there still a chance?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
There is a database. It can be set different parameters. Like, we can set it to 48 hours back to surge. 36 hours, 48 hours, or that you can do a custom search. And then Flock has a actual cloud database that they keep all that in. As far as the deep storage of it, I don't know all the intricacies of it, but it is available that we can go back. Sometimes there is data that is lost, you know, because storage is like anything. It's not forever, you know, but it is a certain amount of time.
We talked about the many things it does that you like. What do you wish it would do? Or are there, like, where we talked about technology, where is the system growing to?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like where it's at. There's always new things that I'm sure it can do. We love it for investigations. That's what I'm the assistant commander of. We use it for tracking things like that. I'm sure there can be more in-depth things that can do that. I actually have a meeting coming up next week with a Flock representative to see what some of the new things that it can do. So I'll be excited to see about that. So I don't want to speak to it now because I'll probably speak out of turn.
Understood.
You know, but
just curious.
Once I know, I'd be happy to be able to share it.
But you did say something that I didn't realize. So let's say you have a KPGZ sticker in your window. Can you put that in as a parameter so it would pick up on that?
Yeah, you could put like back window sticker, and uh-huh. Or if I knew it was like on a Toyota Tundra or something like that. If it's in there, if the camera picks it up, any of those like Toyota Tundra, like say red Toyota Tundra with a white sticker on the back window, it would give me any cameras that pick that up. I'd be able to search for that. And then if it matches what I'm exactly looking for, then I can start narrow it down, tracking and things like that.
I think that's fascinating, actually. Yeah, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, so I'll put you two guys on the spot. How is that interpreted as Big Brother? Don't you want you don't want criminals walking around and driving around.
I think there's a misconception that when you're in a public area, you don't necessarily have a right to privacy.
Yeah,
I think that people think that.
So when you talk about being tracked, the biggest tracker in the world is this thing here.
Absolutely.
Right.
And everybody has it. And
Yes. So
I can sit there and say, just randomly say, man, I'd like to go get a new grill, and I'll have 40 ads for a grill in 38 seconds.
I think that's what I was asking about before a little bit, though, of where is it stored? People kind of get caught up on that. How long is it stored? What are they going to do with it, I think? But I don't see any value in that conversation.
And I would assume, like, a stolen car. We talked about that earlier. Once the car's recovered, the system dumps because you don't need
it. You don't need it anymore, correct. And it's very law enforcement specific, and then to the proprietors of Flock. It's not like they give it out to other, agencies, non-law enforcement to use. Obviously, we may have to utilize it for prosecution of the case, right, because how we came across it and how we tracked it. But other than that, it's not like it's going out to anybody else.
Yeah, selling it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And no one else has access to it other than law enforcement.
That's correct. So, yeah, we all are password protected into this. We all have specific logins. Different parameters are set for different users, or end users, or admin, and things like that. So we're the only ones that can see it.
All right. So I'm not going to hold you this because I know you have a meeting with the Flock people. But have they given you any indication of where we might be able to take this? In other words, license plates, bumper stickers, types of cars.
Like
that's
next?
Great. But what's next?
Facial recognition, that
That's
type of
what
thing.
I was wondering. So can you...
So, there are facial recognition companies out there, and I'm sure there is, and this is me speaking, thinking, there is that some type of integration that could occur. I don't know exactly. That's definitely something I'm going to ask, though.
Yeah, I would assume eventually that if you're walking down the street and it is looking for Stacy, because she is a criminal... but if she's walking down the street, the camera picks you up, Stacy was over on 92 Highway.
And like I said, technology is a way of the future in law enforcement. Anything that we do in investigations now is all, tech driven, like you showed with your phone. Years ago, it didn't used to be that way. And now sometimes it helps us, sometimes it hurts us, because of the amount of data that we have to process through. But, to me, I think it helps us a lot more than that.
But this system seems to help you sort through it.
100%.
Pretty specifically, which
is, I think,
a benefit.
The search parameters are, endless. And if we needed something added to it, our tech team can tell us if they can do it or tell us if they can't. But they usually try to work to get in those different types of things in there for us.
And I would think, and I'm assuming that this system's new enough, we don't have the data to support it. But I would assume from a manpower, it would greatly help, because now you have an extra set of eyes watching. So you don't have to physically, let's use 35 Highway for, and I don't know where the cameras are, and we probably wouldn't tell you if we did. But if you have a camera out on if you have a camera out on 35 Highway, and I'm just making that up, I'm not I-35, I'm not saying there it is, but if it was, that's a set of eyes that watches 24 hours a day for whatever you're looking for, and you don't have to take a person and set them out there. Therefore, that be it a local police officer, sheriff's officer, whoever, can be out doing other things, looking for other things.
Correct. And then if they're alerted to it, then they can respond to the
correct.
Area. Correct.
And let's even take that a step further. If you're looking for a specific license plate, there's no way that one person would be able to do it with the going 70 miles an hour. That's just not going to happen.
And sit out there all day long waiting for that license plate.
So how quick are the results when you type in, I'm looking for this license plate? Is it immediate?
Yeah, it's pretty much immediate. The speed of your internet, you know, will help. And you know, like I said, our dispatch center, they have the system in their communications area as well. So if they get that alert immediately, and if the deputies don't have it up on their car right away because they're doing something else, they can immediately broadcast that information out and still get there. So you have multiple different angles of communication. It's great.
So back to your I-35 example, if the flock sees somebody cruising out on I-35, can you access an agency in Kansas and Texas, or
If they've shared those cameras with us? So like I said, most of the areas around the Kansas City metro, I like to say kind of the 9-county area here, if you will. If they have the cameras, they've shared them with us, and multiple other states have shared with us as well, because you know we'd like to see it. So yeah, as long as you can, if you want to look at those cameras, you can see. And if you ever want access to cameras, all you got to do is contact their administrator, say, hey, can we have access? And they'll be like, can we have access to yours? Sure. And that's usually how it works. So.
Does it have the, and you may not know this, but does it have the ability to track? And by that, what I mean is, I'm going to use I-35 because it's simple and everybody's familiar with it. But let's say you have a series of different departments that had the flock camera along I-35. Would you be able to say, okay, it was here at 10:30, it was here at 11:04, it was here, and you can start to say, okay, they're going north or whatever.
You can use it to build a timeline. Yep, absolutely.
That is
that's impressive.
That's impressive. That's that's
yeah. That's cool. And that's kind of what I was getting at with they're headed into Texas. They're headed wherever out of here. Mm-hmm. How far can we?
Or maybe
get
use
that?
It to develop a pattern.
Sometimes, yeah. So anything that you use it with, whatever aspect of your angle of the investigation you're trying to take it with, we can put it in there. So.
All right. Well, that's great. Thank you for coming by.
Absolutely.
Give us. We're going to have you back in if you're okay with it later on, and let's get a follow up on
the new improvement, the updates.
The improvements,
anything?
And the effectiveness of it. More about it. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Up next, you'll meet the new man at the helm of Kearney Athletics and Activities. Stay tuned.
Kearney Trust Company is your local bank offering personalized financial services with a focus on what matters to you. From checking and savings accounts to home loans and retirement planning, they're here to help you achieve your financial goals. Kearney Trust Company is a partner for success with 2 locations in Kearney at 310 West 92 Highway and 701 Watson Drive in Price Chopper. 816-628-6666 or kearneytrust.com. Kearney Trust Company, banking you can trust, member FDIC.
At Kearney Family Chiropractic Center, they believe that your health starts with your spine. Using gentle, effective chiropractic care, they focus on restoring balance to your body and improving your overall well-being. Kearney Family Chiropractic Center is taking appointments now at 816-628-6738. The office is located at 301 South Platte Clay Way, Suite B in Kearney, and their website is kearneyfamilychiro.com. Experience the power of wellness at Kearney Family Chiropractic Center.
Platte Clay Electric Cooperative is more than just your energy provider. They're your neighbors, too. For over 85 years, they've been powering homes, businesses, and communities in the Northland with reliable, affordable electricity. As a cooperative, they're owned by you, the members. That means every decision they make is focused on serving your needs, not profits. From maintaining safe and efficient power lines to offering energy-saving tips, they're here to support you every step of the way. Platte Clay Electric Cooperative, empowering communities and energizing life with safe and reliable energy.
Welcome back to Kearney Live. The Kearney School District announced on Monday that Joel Lucan will become the next Activities Director effective July 1. He takes over for Dave Schwarzenbach, who is retiring at the end of the school year. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
All right, so talk to us about, you've done well. Why Kearney?
Well, Kearney's a fantastic town. When we lived here in the Kansas City Metro prior, we ended up moving up to Kearney, my wife, Melissa, and I, and daughter, Reagan, and we lived right behind the high school for like 4 years.
Oh, goodness.
So I spent 9 years at Jewel prior to me being there now, and we had some really good relationships. Daughter had, a good friendship with one of the young ladies who she actually plays on the softball team with now, Ellie Schweitzer. So,
nice.
Just made sense that when we decided we wanted to get back here, get a little closer to family, that, there was a sense of comfort with Kearney, and we love it.
So you've previously been at the collegiate level. Talk to us about your specific connection with high school activities.
Yeah, when I was the AD at South Dakota Mines, the local high schools played at our football field every either Thursday or Saturday. And so the ADs and I would meet on a regular basis. I used to coach high school baseball way, way back in the day for a couple of years back in Iowa. There's a difference, right? But it's all about leadership. It's all about developing kids. It's all about community engagement. It's all about, growth, maturation. Personally for me, it doesn't change whether you're in high school athletics or if you're in small colleges. I've never worked or had much to do with like Texas or KU where it's more about cash. really, I mean, right? It's all about cash. To me, activities and leadership is more about leadership and opportunities and having fun, doing something that you enjoy,
nice.
That you can carry on for a lifetime.
Well, I'm thinking you're not going to see too many of the Kearney kids entering the portal.
That's good.
Anytime soon.
So let's talk about some nuts and bolts. Scheduling, the tournaments, all the stuff. What is that?
Yeah, nothing that I'm not familiar with. When I was coaching baseball for 7 years, I did my own scheduling. As the athletic director in college, I helped schedule all of our football games, the non-conference basketball games. We ran tournaments in college, postseason tournaments. We ran preseason tournaments. It's rolling your sleeves up and getting after it and planning out as far as you possibly can.
Give some folks, like we talked about on the phone, that you were like right in the middle of it over spring break of everything that was going on. Like share people that snapshot of what was going on.
So we had 19 events in 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Baseball, softball, men's and women's lacrosse. I can't even remember. But it was just, that's the job, right? That's not something that I'm, unfamiliar with. You're busy. The joy and the good part about it is you get to watch kids compete. You get to watch kids do something that they love. Hopefully you're watching good people mentor and coach and develop those individuals. That's actually kind of the easy stuff,
right.
The scheduling, and then watching them go out there and participate and do things. That's the fun part. So
what is the tough stuff that comes with being activities director?
I'm going to say this my way. Maybe it's not the most politically correct way, but people are the best part about the job, and they're also can be the worst part about the job, you know. So those are the challenges, right? It's like coaching coaches, right? Helping people mature, helping people. I believe it was Dr. Miller said in one of her monthly magazines, it's okay to hold yourself accountable, and it's okay to admit that you've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. We've all, I mean,
we're
I've
all
said,
human.
Yeah, I've said things I shouldn't have said. Go back and apologize, you know, learn from it, move on. The ability to have crucial conversations, understand that I'm there for them, empathetic to what, you know, they're going through. Wins and losses, they're going to happen. Yeah. We got to be there for them when they win, when they lose.
Kearney fans may not like to hear that, but you are absolutely right.
Kearney doesn't lose.
Yeah, not very often.
I will say this, though, kind of to a point you talked about. One of the things I've noticed when I got here to Kearney was the support, especially lately, the support between the different organizations. So when you go to we did a baseball game the other day, but the football coach was there, and you go to a basketball game and you'll see the other coaches there. There's a lot of districts, and you may end up taking that for granted, but there's a lot of districts where a coach will never go to another sporting event, mm-hmm. be it no matter what it is. So the interaction, and it's not only that, but that goes down to the kids, because you'll always see, if you go to a basketball game, you'll see maybe the football team's there, or you'll go to a baseball game and the basketball team's there. So
that's, you're spot on. And that's actually one of the things that attracted me to the position, to be frank with you. Not to talk poorly about my daughter's last interaction at her last high school, but none of that took place. Mm. There's a good family camaraderie here. There's a good community support. I love Reagan to death, but she's a little introverted, right? Mm-hmm. So when Dave introduced her to a couple of the softball players this past summer, when we came down to help make our decision that we wanted to come to Kearney, those young ladies continued to contact her throughout the summer, continued to reach out. They ended up, obviously they were seniors and they were leaders on the softball team, but they made that transition for her. Great. Dave was fantastic to myself and Melissa, gave us all the information, excuse me, followed up. So in my conversations with him, in my conversations with other people who are involved in the district, there is that sense of support. They understand that that's how we're all successful, right? The football team showed up to the district softball for my daughter and the team. I mean, it's a big deal. Great. That makes a big difference.
Yes.
When you show up and the parents for the opposing team are going to the administrator and saying, are you going to get those guys under control? Well, they're not doing anything wrong. They're here supporting their team.
Right. So you're obviously not new to this arena and working with student athletes and then probably also parents. I know in the school district where my children went to school, the athletics made it very clear they didn't want to deal with the parents. They only wanted to deal with the students. As a parent, I feel like that's detrimental to the student. And I was just wondering, curious, what your take is on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the growth and maturation of a coach, of an administrator, of a parent, of an athlete. My advice to my coaches is going to be to do as much planning and work ahead as you possibly can, meaning setting a ground rules and expectations. Here's how we want to handle things if this comes up. My daughter's not confrontational. She's very introverted, like I said. So if she has, excuse me, if she has an issue, the discussion that I have with her is if you need me to get involved, I will. But if it really means something to you, go have a conversation with your coach and see where that goes. I understand that that's probably going to be, it's going to be more hands-on here for this position than it is in college. How I handled it in college or in my current position, I usually speak to the parents when they come in for the recruit day. And I lay the ground rules out. Like, I'm here to make sure your son or daughter gets through school, gets their education, retains, graduates, gets a good job. I'm part of that process. My office door is going to be open to you, to them. The one thing I won't talk about is playing time. Okay. If we talk about playing time, I'm going to grab your son or daughter's hand, and we'll walk down, and then we'll sit down and have a conversation with the coach, and we'll go through it. And I'm going to say the same thing to the coaches. You know, if they're being mistreated, if they're being verbally mistreated, if there's something that's wrong, then I'm going to jump in. But if it's about playing time, I mean, playing time's earned in the practice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's one of the things that I don't think people give enough credit to the coaches, especially at the high school level. Again, the professional league, totally different. But I don't think there's a parent in any school district, and there might be one, in any school district, in any city, anywhere, that doesn't think their kid should be the starter playing every inning, every minute, every hour, every second, and they should be doing this and that and the other. And the fact of the matter is, on any given team, there's, you know, several players, far more than are required to be on the field court, whatever, at any given time. How the coaches deal with that behind the scenes, and then put together a winning program, is hats off to the coaches. Yeah. And not just here, I'm talking anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the country. It's, you know, when I coached, was talked a lot about embracing your role, right? Like, if you're the courtesy runner for the day, be the best courtesy runner that you can possibly be. I think Nick Saban at the American Football Coaches Association said, you know, whatever your task is, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best darn sweet sweeper, street sweeper that you can possibly be. That's part of that communication process in my mind, is understanding, hey, you're a punter. That's your role. We don't want you to go in and play left tackle. So be the best punter that you can possibly be. You know, I'm guilty of that. Like, do I think Reagan could have played more? Yeah, well, she didn't show it in practice, right? So that's the way it goes.
All right, so you're going to have a lot of activities, a lot of athletics, a lot of things going on. July 1, like, what are the priorities the first month, the first 2 months? Like, how do you set that? That's a prime time to set your vision, your leadership style for what you want the program to be. What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, the first 30 days, I got a lot of people I got to meet. I got to meet with my coaches, meet with the sponsors, meet with anybody who I guess reports to the activities director. My verbiage is going to be, they're the architect of their program, and then I'm a facilitator. How do I help them achieve their goals? Right? I'm trying to be the ultimate servant leader. So I'm going to put them first. I'm going to put their kids first. And how do we achieve what you need to achieve? You know, the first 60 days, maybe breathe on day 60. You know, but through that process, one of the things that I want to establish is, and let me back up a little bit, everything that we should be doing within the athletic department should coincide with the district strategic plan, and how that works in with the athletic department or the activities department. Nice. So that's very important to me, because that should be our light tower, our guiding light for everything that we're doing. At some point in time, day 60, somewhere in there, I want to put together what I'm calling an advocate group of either a school board member, community member, some parents, coaches, teachers, staff, myself, and how do we at minimum maintain our success, right? Like, we've set a standard here, and then how do we get on a projection to move forward, to continue to do what we're doing now, but where can we get better? Where can we learn? I'm a big advocate of, like, recap. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? Sometimes that can ruffle some feathers, because you're productive. Yeah, but it's that's how you progress. That's how you move forward.
That's right.
But there are times where that will cause some angst.
Yeah.
90 days. Hopefully, I've got all of that established. I've got all my relationships established as best I possibly can. And then we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts. I joked a little bit about money in Division One. It does take support. I mean, I know for a fact we wrote a lot of checks for Reagan's softball career at her club, at her high schools.
Right.
Figuring out how we can create more resources for our kids, create better facilities, create better practice habits. And not just athletics, but theater, but music, but all of that.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in. You're walking into a great program.
Yes.
Looking forward to see what you can do going forward. But
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming. Really? Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
stay with us. Final thoughts are coming up next.
Explore a place to visit. Explore knowledge. Explore fun. Explore relaxation. Explore adventure. Explore a hometown. Explore Kearney, Missouri.
And welcome back to Kearney Live. It's time to wrap things up with our final thoughts. Let's start off with Stacy.
Yes, today is an exciting day as the Kearney Holt Motor Show gets underway again for the season. It is at Walnut Creek Winery from 10 to 1, but it will be happening the first Saturday of every month from April through October at Walnut Creek Winery in Holt, Missouri. So go out. We're expecting around 150 to maybe 200 cars. You never know. There'll be motorcycles, sports cars, all kinds of fancy things, wrap rods, everything you can think of, all kinds of fun for free. And it's family friendly, no burnouts, no loud revving. Just go have a good time.
All right, sounds good. Nick, what do you have for us?
It's springtime. Let's get out and keep supporting our students of the school district. We've got a lot of activities, a lot of sports happening. I've already been to my first track meet, first couple now. So please go out and support them. We've had a really successful year, and let's keep it going.
And along those same lines, like to ask everybody, if you have not, make sure you, they're doing a big fundraiser right now. It's the Kearney Quarterback Club, and they're getting ready for the football season already. I know it's only April, but you can never look too far ahead. But they do have one item out there. If you haven't sponsored anything, or they have whole sponsors and all sorts of things for the upcoming golf tournament. If you like to golf, make sure you sign up for the golf tournament. But they also have a silent auction, and you could win this. Who would not like a Bobby Witt Jr. signed shirt with all the little...
Ah.
And if you don't think that thing isn't going to be worth something someday, you may be sorely mistaken.
Yes.
So get online and you can figure out more about that. Look up the Kearney Quarterback Club and get more information on that and how you could walk away with that item and support your local football team. Thanks for joining us here on Kearney Live. Look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you later.